to proceed to the next item, or do you want to take an early lunch? Bearing in mind it's going to be a long afternoon. Shall we take a stab at the beginning?
Make a start.
Right. Seeing as Joanna's woken up especially for us, I guess it's coming up to about 1:30 in the morning. For you, is it, Joanna?
Sorry, you're on mute. Yes, it is. I have had a little sleep, and I was going to go back to sleep and come back a bit later, but I will stay until lunchtime.
I thought whilst you're awake, we might as well keep on going. I'm going to turn to agenda paper 4. We're going to at least start on this one. David Mitsuhiro, you're still at the table, so...
The next topic is mixed gum first sharing arrangement. It relates to IS 12, but it's not tax matter. I believe it's IS 19 issue. The issue is, in Mexico, there's a statutory requirement for all the business enterprises, with some exception, to share 10% of taxable profit with all the employees who work for the company for more than 6 days during the year. Currently, Mexican company recognize deferred asset and liability for temporary differences relating to Mexican statutory sharing arrangement, because Mexican standards require to apply accounting methodology similar to deferred accounting to the profit sharing arrangement. US GAAP doesn't have authoritative literature on it, but practice have developed to apply the same deferred tax accounting methodology to Mexican profit sharing arrangement. So companies do recognize deferred profit sharing asset and liability in practice. The issue here is whether Mexican entities should continue recognizing deferred profit sharing asset and liability even under IFRS. Some international accounting firms were in an opinion that company doesn't have to recognize or shouldn't recognize. But Requestar thinks it should. So that's why Requestar sends request to clarify the accounting for Mexican profit sharing arrangement. In the last meeting in September, our committee discussed this issue and published a tentative decision saying that such a profit sharing arrangement is within the scope of IS 19. In accordance with IS 19, liability is recognized when employee provides service. And effect of reversing temporary difference will be included in a future profit sharing arrangement that will be paid to future employees. Therefore, it relates to future service, not the past service. Therefore, tentative decision says that IS 19 doesn't require recognizing a profit sharing liability for the effect of temporary differences. After publication of agenda decision in September, committee received 4 comment letters. 3 of them agreed with tentative decision. Only 1 letter disagreed with tentative decision. The letter disagreed with decision is from the accounting standard setters in Mexico. They disagree with tentative decision because of 3 arguments. First argument is, if we apply IS 37, there should be a liability because entities are in effect, in practice, cannot avoid paying the liability, paying the future profit sharing relating to temporal differences. Second argument is that liability relating to temporal differences was created by past service, which created accounting profit. So it is created by past service. The third argument is we should see employee as a group instead of individual employees. If we see employee as a group of employees provided service in the past, which created accounting profit and past temporal differences. And those group of employees will receive profit sharing in the future, reflecting reverse of temporal differences. So, therefore, at the present, there should be a liability to pay profit sharing relating to temporal differences. Staff considers those arguments, but still support committee's tentative decision in September, because firstly, Stas does not support IS-37 argument because IS-37 excludes employee benefits from its scope. Secondly, Stas does not support past service argument because IS-19 says the service has to be in exchange for benefits. That means service provider has to be in the same person as recipient of benefit, and recipient of benefit is future employee in this situation. Therefore, staff still support the view that the liability benefit is created by future service rather than past service. Lastly, staff do not agree with group of employees argument because IS-19 says liability should be recognized when an employee provides service. It doesn't say a group of employees provides service. These are the basis for staff recommendation. After posting the render paper, I have received email from a Mexican standard setter making counter arguments. So to rebalance both views, I don't want to bias my view, so I want to present both views equally. So let me explain what they make counter argument. They think that staff analysis in the agenda paper overly focus on form rather than substance. They think that if we focus on substance, a right for employee to receive benefit is created when they create the accounting profit. They think that the future service to be provided by employee is a vesting event, not a recognition event. In accordance with paragraph 69 of IS-19, there is a constructive obligation to be recognized as a liability when temporary differences are created that will be vested when employee continue providing their service in the future. They think their view should also be supported by the matching concept in the framework. Despite the staff analysis in paragraph 9 of agenda paper 4, they believe that the future payment of deferred component is substantially unavoidable because in practice transferring employee is not possible. And finally, they believe the only way to reflect the substance I described is to see employee as a group rather than individual and recognize the liability for that constructive obligation relating to temporary differences. I don't agree with constructive obligation argument, but I should stop maybe making argument for argument. I presented two different views equally, therefore I would like to ask the committee which view committee support, whether committee agree with staff recommendation to finalize the agenda decision in the amended wording in Appendix A.
Mr. Hiro, you've obviously been having a fairly balanced email exchange with standard setters from Mexico, and also I see from Peru. They're not entirely on their own, that there is at least one other country in the world that has this issue. But did the Mexican standard setter do anything at all to convince you that IS-19 was not clear, that employee benefits have to be accounted for under that standard, and that IS-37 was also clear that if it was an employee benefit, mm-hmm. that IS-37 wasn't the authoritative literature?
Well, if we base analysis on 19, I think only the argument that sounds could be reasonable is the argument based on constructive obligation. But I'm not convinced because they said that future service by employee is a vesting event. But when employee doesn't provide future service, if it is a vesting event, the benefit should disappear. But in this situation, benefit will be passed on to other future employees. So I don't think it's a vesting event, but.
All right, but I suppose we should ask the members of the committee if they're convinced by your argument or by the respondent. Jean-Louis.
I am convinced by staff arguments. I was already convinced before. But I will raise two points. First, I don't believe it's only a Mexican issue. It could happen elsewhere. And my second concern is about the wording for rejection, because I don't think that I mean, you should probably reinforce what you have, what I've just said, saying, demonstrating that it's not a 37 issue, but an IS-19 issue. Mm-hmm. And you should probably not use wording which is more in relation to IS-12, like temporary differences. Mm-hmm. Or if you use it, you should explain the origin of the temporary difference in order not to mix the problem with the application of IS-12. So I agree with the position, but I think you should review the wording for rejection.
Okay, thank you. Tak?
Yes, I agree with the staff's recommendation. I believe it falls within the scope of IS-19. I think it's clear. But I feel sympathy to the Mexican people. They want to consider employee as one group, one object, like a tax authority. But actually, it is not. I found the similarity between the rate-regulated argument in the rate-regulated industry. In that case, transaction is company and each individual customer, but we are considering whether we should recognize assets and liabilities. The one similarity is that there is a strong regulation which regulates behavior of the company. In this case, in Mexico's case, Mexico company cannot help providing profit. So we have to consider the case, the transaction itself is each individual, company of each individual. But when there is a strong regulation which treats it as if it were one single group, does current standard cope with such a situation properly? Such kind of situation must be considered in the future. So therefore, in your rejection paper, I would suggest we should include such kind of comment to ask board such kind of situation in conjunction with rate-regulated industry discussion.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with the solution that has been taken by the staff. I also agree with not including any wording like temporary differences in the agenda decision. I think what is very good proposal by the New Zealand standard, no, was it New Zealand or Canadian standard setter, which makes clear that IS-12 is not applicable here. Maybe we could also include something to clarify that this is not only applicable to a situation where the bonus is based on taxable income. You may come up with the same problem when you base your bonus on home gap. And then you could say, well, every time you deviate, when you base your bonus on something different to IFRS, you have temporary differences, and then you may have the same issue, which I think is not the right answer. If the law or a plan says the bonus is based on something different as IFRS, then it's based on something different. You recognize it in the year when the service is provided, and it doesn't matter whether it deviates from IFRS income or not. Maybe we could make that also clear in the wording so that people would not come up again with other issues and say, well, I'm basing my bonus on German GAAP. It's not IS-12, but it's akin to IS-12 or something like that.
Out of order. Bruce.
I agree with the staff recommendation. I also prefer the wording suggested by the Canadian standard setter to make it simple and clear that IS-19 applies, and not to make reference to IS-12. It also struck me reading the view B in paragraph 15 that perhaps our clarification that we spoke about in Agenda Paper 3A about what taxable income or taxable profit means might actually help them, because if you read paragraph 15, they seem to be confused about what taxable profit means, because they are taking into account temporary differences in their analysis of it, and that could be the basis for their argument. because they're seeming to argue that the deductible, that the temporary difference is part somehow of the taxable profit on which the bonus is based. But I agree with the staff here, but I think we need to shorten that agenda decision and take out the confusing wording around IS 12.
Okay, Scott?
I have, in the interest of full disclosure, I've also received most of, I think, the same communications from the Mexican Standard Center that, that Mitsuhiro has received. I also think IAS, and this is in the scope of IAS 19, and I think that part of the reason why this is even raised as an issue is because it happens to be measured based on taxable profit, and we have a standard dealing with temporary differences in taxes. I think Guido raises a very good point that, you know, if it was based on home gap or simply based on some formula that, that the tax law said, you know, start with IFRS, but recognize all capital assets as expenses rather than depreciating them. I mean, whatever the formula specified is, if it's not IFRS, you could have the same issues. And I think the point is that, for better or for worse, IAS 19 says if it's based on some calculation, then do the calculation, figure out the amount you have to pay, and that's your accrual. And I think we're left with that as the answer. So I'd like to make that point somehow in the agenda decision, that the question was asked about taxable profit but could arise when the computation is based on any number of things. And the principle of IAS 19 is figure out what you got to pay and that's your expense. Having said that, I am a bit concerned that apparently in two countries where this is an issue, Mexico and Peru, the standard setters seem to have reached the opposite conclusions and think we've got it all wrong. I haven't seen anything in what they've written that convinces me we've got it wrong, but it makes me nervous. So I'm hopeful that we're not going to find out, you know, 6 months from now that we missed something.
Scott, perhaps that's a reflection that Tackett picked up in his empathetic response, that absent a specific standard dealing with employee benefits, then the solution that the Mexicans have come up with might be an appropriate solution. But given that we have standards that are in place that we do have to follow, IAS 19 is clear that this is an employee benefit and IAS 19 tells you how to account for it. So it's not a question of finding another solution. I think the alternative, which would be to override IAS 19 and exclude employee benefits where the payment of it in substance would give a different answer from IAS 19, is opening a door to all sorts of confusion, mistakes, and abuse. So I don't think that that's a route that I would want to take. Laurence?
I support the staff recommendation. I had the same concerns as the other committee members about the drafting. I would suggest that if we eliminate any reference to temporary difference, we clarify, though, that any difference rising from the difference in basis does not give rise to assets or liabilities. And to reassure Scott, I just want to mention that we have a scheme in France that is exactly the same as the one in Mexico or in Peru, and we have always accounted for it under IAS 19. And in other countries in Europe, you have similar types of schemes. So elsewhere in the world, there are other schemes that are currently being accounted for under IAS 19. The other clarification that is implicit is the fact that we look at the individual employee, not at the group of employees as a whole. I wonder whether this is something, a justification we want to provide in the rejection.
Like Mitsuhiro, your analysis of this was that IS 19 is governing standard, and IS 19, as it's written, applies to an individual employee, and therefore no further clarification should be required. Right. Yeah. Okay. Fei Long.
I also favor of the position of the staff, and I think the proposal change to the rejection wording a sensible improvement. And the profit, tax profit, has two pieces. One is deferred, and another is current. And I think the question is on the deferred piece. It's really is whether the entity has a present obligation for future profit or sharing with that will be payable when the tax asset or liability is recovered, settled. And although the amount payable is calculated in accordance with tax law, the arrangement is not meeting the scope of IAS 12. But it relates to employee benefits and should be recognized under IAS 19. So I suppose the staff position on it.
Thank you. Final comment, Andrew?
I was going to make the same comment as Laurence about one of the arguments staff put forward is about the individual employee as opposed to a group of employees, so I think it would be worth mentioning that. And the other question, I suppose, is coming back to Scott's sort of bigger picture point about the local standard setters obviously feel very strongly about this. I just wondered whether it has been discussed amongst the relevant securities regulators or ISCO, whether this should have been raised there at all. But I guess I'd be interested in any observations from that body, but it's a question, really.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I was writing down previous comments. I didn't get
But my question was, given that the relevant countries feel so strongly about this, I just wondered whether it had been raised in any sort of regulatory forum at ISCO.
No, never.
This is an issue that for Mexican companies filing under U.S. GAAP, as far as I understood, would have done it the way that the Mexican standard setter is requiring or prefers. So I don't think it's been an issue of contention earlier than that.
It was actually addressed under U.S. GAAP. The Mexican scheme was addressed under U.S. GAAP can't remember exactly what committee discussed it with the SEC staff. Might have been the International Practices Task Force, but it happened in the early 1990s. As I recall from reading, not from being there, since I was just out of college at the time, at the time, Mexican GAAP did not have specific guidance. So there was diversity as to what was being done in Mexico, and after the discussions with the SEC staff, it was decided that for U.S. GAAP purposes, the income tax measurement would be used. Subsequent to that, there was guidance added to Mexican GAAP that required that under Mexican GAAP as well. So it was actually, I think, answered under U.S. GAAP before it was answered under Mexican GAAP, but it had been that way for a long time, and it wasn't based on any standard setting under U.S. GAAP. It was, you know, kind of administrative practices. What do we do? Well, let's do something consistent, and that was the decision.
But as I recall, just before you put the light off, that some Mexican companies actually classified this as an income tax.
Yeah, there was also a classification issue. I think actually Mexican GAAP actually required it to be classified as an income tax for a while as well. And then recently Mexican GAAP changed to require it to be classified as an employee benefit but still measured the way income taxes are measured.
David?
And Andrew, I was just going to add, and I can't recall if Julie made a
pass any comment on this at the last meeting, but the staff had engaged with Julie and her team when we had the initial request on this, just to make sure they were aware of the question. We had our understanding of the previous discussion that Scott just mentioned and their position on it. Now, it's not to say they commented either way on our conclusions, but they're certainly aware that we had the question in, and I think our Julie was here last time with our tentative agenda decision was discussed, and I think what we've discussed today is pretty consistent with that as well.
Okay. So I'm going to propose that we confirm the agenda decision, but with some changes. The question is if they're more than just editorial and that we need to put it out as tentative again. The first would be, in the first paragraph, is to expand the clarification. So it's not only that it's in accordance with the tax law, but also to use, this is obviously not the precise wording, Mr. Hiro can work on that and circulate it to you later, but to include the fact that the employee profit sharing arrangement could be based on a national GAAP or other formulaic basis that is different from IFRS. But in the third paragraph, that we take up the Canadian standard setter suggestion. And the other question some of you wanted in was emphasis that this applies to individual employees, not to groups of employees. Is that generally what people would like to include? Is that a yes or a no?
I think that if we make clear that IAS 19 is based on a certain formula and that you have accrued for that formula, we don't need this argument anymore, because you need this argument grouped and separate if you follow the Mexican view.
Yeah.
If we say IAS 19 is clear and whether it's based on taxable whatever gap, then you accrue for that under that formula, then you don't need this argument anymore.
So then you would suggest that we make plain that it's exactly what IAS 19 says that should be followed. Yeah. Jean?
I don't think we need that specification. I think the way it's worded here, the answer is pretty clear, and it's not dependent on whether you look at the group of employees or a single employee. So I don't believe we need that clarification.
Andrew?
Just reflecting on the first suggested amendment you talked about there, Bob, where you were bringing in other potential fact patterns. I was just wondering whether we need to be a little bit careful, because the key element in the fact pattern here is that the difference reverses. And some of these other fact patterns we talked about, that difference may never reverse. So then the issue kind of goes away. So I think we need to be careful we don't unintentionally bring in fact patterns that are different and muddy the waters.
So instead of being definitive, then to ring the alarm bell that similar schemes based on other formulas.
Well, to be honest, my preference would be to leave that bit as it is. But if you want to broaden it out, then you're going to have to sort of describe similar reversing type schemes.
Yeah. And my concern is that if we broaden the scope at this stage, that I'm not sure we've done all the analysis. That, and it's probably not something that we would want to bring back on another occasion. So we'll just leave the first paragraph as it is. The scope is there. And you will all know that in similar circumstances, IAS 19 still applies. Okay, so Mr. Hiro, we'll rely on you just to make those modifications circulated to us, and thank you for all that hard work, and I think you'd better go back to your office now and read the email from the Mexican and the Peruvian standards. I think that's a good time to break for lunch. We'll come back London time at 1:45. So, Joe, you can get another 55 minutes of sleep if you want.
Bob, what I might do, if it's okay with you, because I've given comments on those, is actually rejoin effectively for Agenda Paper 9. Does that make sense?
Yep, that's fine. You want us to give you a call when we're getting close to it?
Please, that would be very useful.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
See you well.
Thanks.